Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Rich is back from beautiful Beaufort. What is it?
It's like right near Hilton Head.
Yeah, but that's where, in Hilton Head, when I used to go there when I was a kid, if you got arrested, they took you to that. To where you were.
Oh, well, there's Beaufort that's there.
Yeah, Beaufort.
Yeah. Beaufort's kind of the biggest town in that area where Hilton Head and everything is.
There was nothing there. When I was in middle school, there was nothing there.
Yeah, there's still not a lot there. It really isn't a ton.
There's stuff. It used to be just nothing. So, yeah, they have that.
Well, there is a stretch of road that I had to drive because we went to like a mini family reunion that was in South Carolina where my mother lives, but we had to drive yesterday to Atlanta. It's like a 4.5 hour like drive that is on the most boring road of all time. I think there's like it holds a record for car accidents of people just veering off the road because they fall asleep. There's literally nothing on there. It's like out of maybe 100 and something miles. There's one exit that has food, and the rest of it is just trees. And it's just enough to lull you to sleep.
See, that, to me, would be a constant state of panic because I hate those roads you can't get off of.
Oh, it's...
Like the Florida Turnpike?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like every 100 miles, there's a rest stop.
Alligator Alley is kind of boring, too, as you zip across.
It's not... I'm not talking about... It's the opposite of being boring to me. It's that you can't get out. It's like being a submarine. If you broke down on that road,
it's true.
I mean, you're just sitting there.
Yep. However, there is every time I go down there, and I've been there maybe twice in the past like 5 years, but ever since I've seen the movie Get Out, I see it everywhere I go down there. Like little things that just remind me of that movie. Like, you know, where you're staying, it's like, welcome to the plantation. And you're looking around and you just see like, you know, the older white man with his gin, and then you see, like, you know, the African-American people working there, and it's like, this seems like Get Out everywhere you go. And if you think I'm exaggerating, that stretch of road I'm talking about aren't many billboards, except there was one that we passed that my wife took a picture of, and it was a billboard that said you could go online to a certain website in which you could sign a digital petition to save our Confederate veteran statues, which means all those people who fought for slavery, they want to keep those statues up. But if you want to save those to honor our Confederate veterans, that's what they're calling them now, Confederate veterans, then you could sign up online to do that. The South, it never ceases to amaze me how backwards and how like everything about them seems like it's 50 to 60 years ago in the past. Like it's like right around Jim Crow law type stuff is still going on down in the South. And it's very strange. It's blatant. People drive around with Confederate flags just flying on the back of their trucks. This still happens today in 2018. It is really, really strange.
See, the statue thing I get.
Why?
Because you remind, there's a clock in Germany that is like some Hitler clock or something like that. And the reason that they still have it is to remind people of the history. Like, and I understand the reason they want the Confederate generals, probably the people that have the digital petition is different than anything else.
But you know those statues went up in the Civil Rights era? Like those weren't like made right after the Civil War. They were put up as an FU during the Civil Rights era.
Right. But they exist, and maybe it reminds people of it, it. Maybe when you go there, it reminds you that there was that time. You understand what I'm saying?
It would be different.
I'm not a huge fan of getting rid of something. I think it's a slippery slope when you just start getting rid of stuff because, you know, it conjures up images of when things were bad. It exists.
No, it's different if it was put up when it happened, like after that. You're like, well, this is something that was erected at the time. I understand that. But those were put up as a middle finger to all of the to the black people trying to get equal rights. It was like during that time was when the majority of those statues went up. It was like the way that they changed the Georgia flag from what it was to putting the Confederate battle emblem on there during the Civil Rights era. So it was like, I mean, all of those things were done as a middle finger to black people. So that's why I have no problem with it. And it's you know, and the statues of them standing there glorifying these soldiers, which were fighting for slavery. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. If it was something from back in the day when it actually happened, you could say, well, that's a historical thing. But it wasn't historical. This happened, like, you know, back in the 60s and the 50s, so.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, like, toppling those statues. Now, the Georgia flag was ridiculous. The Georgia flag I can't believe that you still had it. I mean, that's on stationary.
Oh yeah,
that's you know that's what you're flying in front of your house. See, a statue just exists in one spot. The Georgia State flag was absolutely insane.
People ran on that platform. Is that I am going to make sure that we keep the stars and bars on the Georgia flag? And one guy like won. Sonny Perdue.
And then he ended up changing the flag.
He ended up changing the flag, and these people put these signs in front of their houses that said, Sonny lied, and it had the stars and bars on it.
And so, yeah.
I mean, that was the big issue. Yeah. It wasn't jobs. It wasn't the economy. It was, I want my damn Confederate flag on the Georgia State flag.
Right. And then that's just a... That's the momentum that is not stopping. For instance, like, yeah, if you are insisting to have the Confederate flag on a current state flag, that is something that you're like, all right, what the hell are you doing? See, with the statue, just exists in one place. Listen, if they want to take them, it's not a cause that I, you know, I'm going to throw out. But when it comes to doing that kind of stuff, I'm not entirely opposed to it. So, because it is, and I understand that they built them later, or they erected them later, for the most part, mm-hmm. but whatever. That's my thing. So I took your two's advice, and I watched a episode of Black Mirror last night.
Which one did you watch? That's it.
So I looked at did what Rich said, and I looked at, said the best episodes of Black Mirror, and this was from season 3, and it was like Los...
San Junipero?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's the best one.
I love that one.
It was fine, but I don't get it. Like, and then so I had to like research it, and it was like people trying to come up with various things. Now, why did you guys like it so much?
Oh, I loved it. I loved everything about it. About like, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anyone because it's massive twist. I mean, the whole thing is a massive twist. Like the whole episode involves like several massive twists.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of you knew it wasn't real in the beginning, or not. I mean, after like about 10 minutes. And so, so that's the best episode by far.
Not by far. It's the best episode. It's my favorite. There's the other ones that are, that's the only feel-good episode that I can
think of.
The rest are kind of, I've only seen 3 others. Rich has seen, what, 10, 15, well, however many
I think
seen.
I think I've seen like 10 of them.
Yeah, I just saw 2 back-to-back on Father's Day. What was, it was Be Right Back.
Oh, that's kind of
creepy.
Ooh, that's the one where there's a husband and wife. They just got married, and the husband dies. Yeah. And at the funeral, a friend of hers said, "I signed you up for a service. It's going to help you grieve." And she like yells at her friend, like, "I don't want anything." And all of a sudden, she starts getting emails from her dead husband, and the emails turn into like a chat online. But this chat sounds and talks exactly the way he does. And so she says, "How are you doing this?" He said, "Well, I've hacked into all of his emails and all of his Facebook accounts, and I've learned the way he speaks and the way what he's into, and I've given you a best representation of who I think this person is." And they said, if you want something even more lifelike, send me some videos. And next thing you know, she gets a phone call and it's his voice on the other end speaking just like he does. So they go and they have this like relationship. They walk around. And then after about a month of that, she says, decides, I wish I could be with you. Yeah. And he goes, well, for a significant fee, I can make it even closer to the real thing. And she sends him a bunch of stuff. And the next thing you know, there's a box on her front door. And it opens it up. And it's like a body that's him.
You just gave away the whole show.
No. That's just the first half. And okay, then what happens afterwards is what gets really
okay,
creepy.
Because, so from my understanding, Black Mirror is like the dangers of technology.
Technology gone wrong.
So there's, right, I'll tell you off the air, but there's the big theory about that Los and whatever.
San Jean Apparel.
Is that it's actually a freaky ending.
Oh, it's freaky as hell.
No.
Oh, that ending's crazy freaky.
But, like, negative.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's terrifying.
Okay, so you thought the same thing at the end.
Oh, my God, yeah. There is a final scene of that episode that is just where you just are... To me, I was floored. Like, floored, the final scene of that episode.
All right, so you got it right away.
Oh, yeah, of course. Dude, of course.
I mean, I didn't. So you looked at his hat, Pete, right, John?
Yeah, I did.
But it's not.
It's happy but terrifying.
Yeah, it's something I did not expect to happen at the end
of
it.
Yeah, it lands a haymaker in the last 30 seconds of the episode.
But you understand why it would be scary? Because something doesn't exist.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was created. That's what turned it from being really good to being, oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay, so it was a creation
mm-hmm.
that didn't
mm-hmm.
exist.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And that we're all being tricked and manipulated.
Okay, we'll have to discuss it all.
Okay, yeah, it's put it this way, it's an episode of TV that, and I guess it won like an Emmy for like the best episode or whatever, a couple of any TV show or something recently. Best writing, I think it was. But that's one of those things that sticks with you. And Black Mirror's got about like 3 or 4 episodes that will stick with you. There's one with John Hamm that's really good. There's another one about a woman who everything in the future, everything in your life is based on likes, like people liking you.
Yeah,
like, you know, on Facebook.
That's the one I'm in the middle of. The name of the episode is called Nosedive, and it actually made me put my phone down. I'm like, I can't.
It's great.
Everyone who sees you instantly judges you
and gives you like a like or a dislike rating. And how much you're liked determines your credit score, determines what kind of job you can get.
And this woman desperately wants positive
and
ratings.
You can hire people to give you better ratings so you can, you know, succeed like more in life. And she does everything she can to try to get better ratings, and everything backfires. It's awesome.
It's kind of like some people on Twitter nowadays.
It's the exact same thing. Exactly like that. Yep. But it's like, imagine if everything we do on Twitter and Facebook is transferred to everything in your life.
That's right.
It's great, man. The show's really good.
If you make a mistake on Twitter,
it's over.
It's over. If you do something great on Twitter, it don't matter. If you do something terrible, it matters a lot. All right, what is coming up?
All right, so we got a little more information about the whole Kawhi Leonard Celtics deal. Also, some Celtics news that came out yesterday as well, and also a little bit of a follow up on the whole Super Soul Sunday.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich. Last night.
98.5, Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, as we count down to the NBA draft and look at who may or may not be traded to the Celtics, Brad Stevens sat down with some members of the press yesterday to address the status of several players already on the roster, and the news is mostly positive. First off, we learned that both Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward should be ready to go by August 1st, and that there's nothing to worry about regarding any setbacks each player may have had previously. So, what about the players that the Celtics are rumored to make a move for, possibly? Let's start with Kawhi Leonard, where things are starting to get silly as far as rumors, speculations, and trade proposals. Case in point, I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday, Sports Illustrated came up with what they believe to be the perfect trade scenario between the Spurs and the Celtics. The Celtics would receive Kawhi Leonard, Derek White, and Pau Gasol. Okay. And to that, the Spurs would receive Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris, Aaron Baines, and the 2019 first round pick.
Baines is a free agent, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you would have to sign Baines and then trade him. according to this trade scenario.
A bunch of expiring contracts, and Jaylen Brown is what that turns out to be.
And the 2019 first round pick.
Sacramento. So.
For a year of Kawhi Leonard. I have a feeling we've all lost our minds at this point. Now, as far as the Celtics still being one of the favorites to get Kawhi Leonard, they're still in the top three. There's a couple different names are being thrown out there. But despite that amazing trade scenario, Adrian Wojnarowski still believes that the Seas are definitely a big contender for Kawhi.
Most teams in the league have interest, and some started to register their interest yesterday. But Boston has the bevy of draft picks, young players, to be a factor with any star player available in the league. They called San Antonio at the trade deadline in February. San Antonio did not engage them in trade talks. I'm told that Boston is ready to get back into this if Leonard becomes available.
And then a jazz band started playing in the background, apparently.
See, now there's
say it, Woj. Say it clear.
Someone was reporting that Kawhi Leonard to the to Cleveland.
Well,
let's get
to that, because I follow the Bankroll Boys on Twitter. I know that Vegas started to freak out over rumors that Phoenix was going to be willing to trade their first pick in the draft for Kawhi, because apparently the odds of him going shot up drastically for about 2 hours before cooling off and kind of getting back to what they were beforehand. And now, as you said, Fred, we're hearing that Cleveland is trying to make a major push for Kawhi and attempt to keep LeBron in the city, which, according to good old Brian Windhorst, is where LeBron's preference is. Okay, so what can Cleveland trade to the Suns that would be something that would make them say, all right, well, first of all, I do know that there's a ton of people saying that the Spurs are not going to trade him to anyone in the West. So just forget about that. Unless, of course, it was for Phoenix for the first round pick, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Why would Phoenix do that when you can take an absolute 7-foot stud
who's from there.
Who went to Arizona? If I'm Phoenix, why the hell would I possibly do that?
Because you're a bad organization. That's why.
For 1 year of Kawhi Leonard, I could actually bring someone in and get a base.
Because if we couldn't figure this out for ourselves, reports out of Phoenix last night said it's not happening.
Yes, sure. Of course not.
But if you're asking why they would do it, is because they're a bad organization that makes bad decisions. That would be the only thing I could say.
Their win total has gone down in each of the last 4 years, and they're the worst.
They have a guard who's a star, and then they can get a center that's a star.
Yeah, if you have a point guard, if you have a guard that's a star and a center that's a star, you're on your way. And as far as Cleveland goes, I was reading the same stuff last night. It starts with the number 8 overall pick in Love. And apparently there's that kid, Jetty Osman, who everyone loves. You know, the European kid that played a lot during the season and was buried at the end of the bench during the NBA Finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. Apparently a lot of people like him. But even that, not even close to enough for Kawhi Leonard. I mean, why would San Antonio trade? Okay, you get the 8 pick and a somewhat deep draft, and you get Kevin Love.
Kevin Love for 2 years?
But proven
time. Is that right? Two more?
I'd have to look. But you get Kevin Love, who's proven not to be a number one and barely a number two. So,
see, that doesn't sound awful to me, actually.
Yeah, the idea is that Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to play for you. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and so you move him. And then you get two young players and a guy that can be a placeholder for 2 years.
And a pretty good pick, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that you get
one player, you got an okay pick, but you get Kevin Love for 2 years, and you keep him out of the West. So I don't think that that's an awful scenario. I just don't know if that's enough to keep LeBron James in Cleveland.
I think San Antonio will be able to get more. Regardless of, again, we're not even talking about his health, which is Kawhi Leonard's health, which is still very much up in the air.
Where in the East? I mean, I know. Other than the Celtics, where in the East could they get more? Because they don't want to trade at anyone in the West. They've made that pretty clear.
I'd have to look at all of the teams and figure it out team by team. But I'm sure there'll be a lot of teams that are interested. But in the end, I don't know if you're San Antonio, if Kevin Love in the 8 gets it done.
We're all of the same mindset, right? That Kawhi Leonard to the Celtics is not a good idea. If all the rumors out there of what they'd have to give up are true. Like, if they'd have to give up someone like Jaylen Brown and a pick, I think Kawhi for 1 year.
It goes back, and even so, it goes back to your health. Danny Ainge spent the last 4 years making approximately 25 trades to get the roster that he has now. I mean, he made all those deals and accumulated all of those picks to get an NBA Finals contender. And he has one now if everyone's healthy. Apparently, Gordon Hayward's going to be fully cleared to play. You know, Kyrie Irving's now, his knee is at full strength. I mean, you have a chance here to go into next season with a favorite to win the East.
Also, he pulled like the ultimate.
Why would you spend all that time and move all these pieces around?
Because
again?
If you get Kawhi Leonard, all of a sudden you are about even money to win.
If he's healthy, yes.
If he's healthy. That's why you play the game. I mean, if you can get a guy for a year and it gives you a shot, I mean, you're even with Golden State at that point.
You have him for 1 year, though, because he's not going to stay.
Right. The question.
No, you can't stay. So you have a championship run.
Maybe I'd be willing to give up Jaylen Brown for 1 year of him. Maybe I'd be willing to do that.
I don't even know how the money works, but of course you'd give up Jaylen Brown.
The question
Brown.
Is, though,
yes.
What is Danny doing? Is Danny doing his due diligence again and maybe offering a little more? Or is he all set to make that huge deal like he's done before? Is he ready to really move three or four pieces around to bring in one big guy? Or is it one of those things where, once again, he's looking for cents on the dollar like he was back in February?
Well, one place that it sounds more and more like LeBron does not want to go is Houston. First of all, there are rumors that LeBron hates the city and dislike playing away games there. Second of all, Stephen A. Smith says Chris Paul doesn't believe LeBron would move to Texas either.
According to my sources, several things are happening. A, Chris Paul is telling folks LeBron ain't trying to come to Houston. He want to be in L.A. These are things I'm getting through the grapevine. Chris Paul is saying LeBron want to be in L.A. Point number two, folks are not so sure Paul George is coming to L.A. From what I'm being told, Sam Presti and Oklahoma City Thunder are going to back up the Brink truck for Paul George. They're going to offer him the max.
And then they said, Stephen A. Smith, what are you thinking about right now?
Always ass.
Excuse me, I heard through the grapevine there's a sweet big ass walking through.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I'm a bootlegging hitman to the court.
That's the line right there.
No, the line is I'm a bottom feeder.
That's just gross.
I'm a bottom feeder.
I mean, that's like disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, that can be interpreted in a very literal way.
Yeah.
That's not... It's Chuck Berry-esque.
I mean, that is really...
I'm a bootlegged hitman.
Okay, I like that, but what else are you?
I'm a bottom feeder.
Okay, well, that's good.
I mean, every time he speaks now...
That's all I think
about. That's all you can think about.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were a straight-up freak.
Okay, well, maybe you are, Stephen A. Smith.
Her body was in the bedroom, but the booty was sticking outside of it.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm a bottom feeder.
It's so funny that when they got him out of the world... Because obviously this show that... The audio that sounds different than Bottom Feeder and Big Butts is a show that he was trying to do that was not a sports show. And to me, it's hysterical that if you pull up audio of it, he's talking about asses constantly. Like, everything outside of sports, Stephen A. Smith revolves around asses.
Her body was in the bedroom,
yes,
but the booty was sticking outside.
So the point of that story, if you didn't hear it, is that he was saying that
sex.
Yes, he was saying that if you want to have a relationship, that you still have to be attracted to the person. And he was talking about when he got in a fight with his lady, he just noticed she got up to leave and he noticed how big her butt was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, wait a second.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Come back, honey. I love your huge ass.
Yep. That solves everything.
Nah, let's make
can't
it work.
Can't deny it.
All right, Rich, we're going to go to the headlines, but what will we talk about?
Let's get to some of this Tom Brady stuff. Some comments made during his big Super Soul Sunday and what should be made of it. And also, I know you guys talked about it yesterday, but I noticed something from that report that I think needs to be discussed.
The what report?
Not the report, the sit-down interview that needs to be discussed. And I'm sure you may or may not have talked about it yesterday.
It was a gift from the heavens above.
Okay.
That thing coming out yesterday. The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Tom, go ahead.
You do realize if you take Stephen A. Smith's initials... mix them up, it comes up A-S-S.
That is true.
That is true. Yes, that's right.
Always ass.
That is a very good point.
I'm a bottom feeder.
He says it with so much confidence, too. He's like, all right, that's what I am.
No, he's like, it's like his eyes are rolling back into his head. He's like, ooh la la.
He's doing like the
Cosby
Huxable
face.
Huxable, yeah.
Thank you.
Camille.
When Cliff Huxtable, like, when he would, like, make a submarine sandwich when, it, like, yeah. his wife was out of town.
A bacon burger dog.
And he go, that's his face.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen A. Smith, or ASS if you move the initials around. Well, I hope everyone feels at peace and in a spiritual happy place after watching Tom Brady sit amongst the trees with Oprah on Super Soul Sunday.
Jim Gray was there, by the way.
Okay, that's what I was going to bring up.
He was there.
I'm sure you discussed this, but how weird was it that randomly you would see standing and watching
with
the entire interview
on.
Behind the camera.
With like 1980 headphones on.
Yeah, it was creepy-ass Jim Gray. What the hell is going on between those two?
I have not got an explanation of what Jim Gray was doing there. And my only thing I can, because like we were just throwing around ideas, and Dan was like, maybe he's making a documentary. I'm like, well, Oprah would never allow that. I mean, she's got her own business venture. So
yeah.
I'm wondering if Jim Gray is in some way, and I'm not kidding, because I don't know what else he does for a living, that Jim Gray is somehow like a media assistant to Tom Brady. Like his job now is like one of Tom Brady's assistants.
Okay, do you remember like a year or two ago, there was a report that Tom Brady was thinking about doing a weekly podcast with Jim Gray to branch off from the little interview that he does every week where they plug Macy's at the beginning of it?
45 minutes of nothing instead of five?
I'm not kidding you. That was floated out there, and I had thought that what came from that was that Deepak Chopra thing that we watched, the Tom versus Time. I thought that that was kind of, all right, they were fleshing out an idea to kind of see Tom's lifestyle behind the scenes. And originally, I think it was proposed as a Jim Gray situation, but it ended up being something that was more like a legit documentary.
Right. They realized that Jim Gray was incapable of doing that.
Yeah, right.
That he did not have the skill set to do that.
So I thought that maybe that's what it was. But now that he's back in the picture, I want to find out what that thing that was rumored that the two of them were going to be making together
the
is.
The only thing, and I'm dead serious, and I have heard or read, I haven't even read that he was there. Like, he's there.
Oh, he's watching it. You see him on the video. It's definitely Jim Gray.
And he's right next, and he's got headphones on, and he looks like he's like, what? And he's right. That might be Gail King to his left. I don't know. Now I'm speculating. But I have to think that Jim Gray is such a disaster as a broadcaster, because I can't think of what else he does. I mean, he's terrible. I mean, he's embarrassed himself publicly. He embarrasses himself every week with that stupid-ass Brady interview, who's a bored interview anyway.
Well, remember, like, he was the guy who sat down with him at that conference that was, like, a couple months
yeah.
ago? Not that namby-pamby BS.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that Tom Brady has hired him as some sort of assistant. So Jim Gray has been lowered to the status of an assistant for a current football player. That's. Can you give me a better explanation?
Just like a paid. Just the guy would do anything for him. He'd take a bullet for Tom Brady.
No, like it would be in quotations, media liaison or his assistant that handled all his media.
He's like his Windhorse.
Well, Windhorse is getting paid by a third party to yeah. kiss
it's
ass.
It's much more depressing because Windhorse like travels everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Brady's been at least in the same spot, so Gray hasn't.
No, Windhorse is not nearly as depressing as Jim Gray. If you were a national broadcaster of in doing huge events, and now your job, oh my God, John, and now your job is to be a media liaison for
that's
a current football
the,
player.
The come down was a lot different. That's true.
No, it's outstandingly yeah. depressing.
Jim Gray was the host for The Decision too, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. That was, of course.
That was like the end of his career.
That was, I think, Jim Gray's idea. If I remember correctly.
And he put that together. Yeah. So again, my point being, I wonder if Jim Gray works out this Westwood One thing and brings it to Tom Brady. If Jim Gray is, and you know, Oprah wants to talk to Tom Brady, so Jim Gray's there to make everything go smoothly.
But you make a good point about Oprah. She's so powerful that Tom Brady didn't specifically say, "I need this guy here." Oprah would be like, "Get the hell out of here. Why is he on the set? We don't need this guy around." If Tom Brady didn't specifically say, I need Jim Gray here because we're working on a project together that would involve him talking about this. I mean, he's right next to Giselle.
I think it's even lower than that. I don't think at any point Oprah even knew who he was. I'm dead serious. I think that
right.
Jim Gray probably traveled commercially to wherever they were going.
I need some of those Jim Gray clips, because it really starts to put in perspective just how creepy this relationship is between the two of them. You hear them talk.
It's not creepy. It's sad. It's sad on Jim Gray's end. Can you think of anything Jim Gray's done besides talk about Tom Brady?
Are we going to be cliche ridden and mamby pamby bullshit? Or are we going to light it up?
Light it up there, bro.
I'm going to swear. Check it out. Boom, I hit you with the big cuss word. A little bit of the bull excrement, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that is odd.
Now let's get to a really boring interview.
Let's see if we can dig a little further into that.
Off long enough.
I got an idea. Here's my style. No follow-ups.
Just let it fly.
Just you say it, we're moving on to the next one.
And I'll nod and pretend that you said something mind-blowing.
Mamby-pamby, you know what, H-E double hockey sticks.
Well, this is strange, because you know what, that's my goal, before the end of the show, to find out what their new relationship is. Like, specifically, what their working relationship is.
He's a media assistant, I assure you of that.
It's a very strange place for him to be.
It's a tremendous fall from a completely no talent. That's exactly what it is. If you had access to anybody in the media, in sports media, and I have a network, and you have a network, say, and that you could have anybody to do your broadcasting, where would Jim Gray fall on your list?
Yeah. Well, wherever the loss of all integrity pile is, I would throw him in that.
See, yeah, he wouldn't register. You would have, like, legit 100 people. I mean, there would be people that were in local markets that I'd rather have than Jim Gray.
He can be bought and sold. Like, I mean, his integrity, he has no integrity whatsoever. So, we learned that with the decision.
So I don't think that he is working in a traditional media role anymore. I think he's with Tom Brady.
Well, he has to be. As I said, to get that kind of access during that interview, he has to be. There are, what, three other people there on the set? Giselle, maybe Gail King. We know her and Oprah have like been, you know, best friends forever. And Jim best Gray friends. Looks like best friends. It's been very vague.
Yeah.
You know, on my honeymoon, Gail King was there.
Really?
I had no idea who she was, but it was a very small resort, so we ran into Gail King several times. I felt like,
did you say, who the hell is Gail King?
Yes. When I said to my wife, who the hell is Gail King? But then once I knew she was Oprah's best friend, I became fascinated.
I thought that was Stedman.
Stedman's the boyfriend.
Oh, okay. All right.
Stedman's the boyfriend with the sweet mustache. Stedman, what do you like right there?
Always ask.
Yeah, it's what Oprah. And when Oprah's standing in a room, what happens?
Well, I would say that
her body was in the bedroom, but the booty was sticking outside of
it. I'm a bottom feeder.
It's gross.
The bottom feeder thing is pretty gross.
I get like a little minor chill every time I hear that.
So he's saying that the woman that he was in a fight with, that he saw how big her ass is, like oftentimes will shut a door on her ass.
Sometimes, yeah. And it makes a comical sound too, like...
Yeah, like she'll be like trying to leave somewhere and she'll shut the door and then it will hit her ass. And then they're like, "Dad, that's the price you have to pay."
That's the actual sound.
She goes, "Whoops, the daisy." Oh my goodness. She's like getting out of the car. Ouchie, ouchie. Hurts. Jeff is a Jim Gray defender. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Sometimes, yeah.
Hey, Jeff, turn your radio down.
No, that's sounded very, very odd. Yeah. Like the computer people were after us. All right, what's going on, Rich? What are we going
to
talk about?
All right, well, let's get to. There's some Ian Rappaport reporting about the relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. On top of that, the Bruins are getting ready for the NHL awards, and I got some deets on the big night.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Get ready.
Is that tonight?
Tomorrow night.
Okay. Yeah.
In Vegas.
Oh, well,
it's always in Vegas.
That's right. They just signed on to do 3 more years in Vegas.
Well, listen, you need that. You need that kind of...
You need the pop. Very important.
You know, you need to bring in the commerce.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's huge. All right. We'll have all that for you. Rich, what else do we got?
All right, so one of the questions that was asked during Super Soul Sunday with Tom Brady was about the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and of course there was a lot of reading into how he answered that question. Ian Rappaport yesterday thought he would follow up and give a new report on how he feels the relationship is between those two gentlemen.
To me, you really heard it all there with the pause that Brady took right after hearing the question to figure out how to actually say that this relationship which is probably the best working relationship in the history of sports, right. has led to so many titles. It's not in a great place. They did meet after the season. They did talk it out. From what I understand, it's still not 100% as it was, and it may not be. You have an aging superstar, the greatest quarterback in history, and you have a coach who's trying to figure out how do you plot the next. And, of course, this year it involved trading the guy they thought was his successor. It's in a good enough place to keep winning, but we'd be foolish to say it's what it was.
Fine. I'm fine with that. It's like it sounds just like Tom Brady's here. He's got a little less of a priority on football that he used to have, but they're not the best of friends, but they're going to get along enough to work out these last couple of years that he's going to play. I don't know why anyone has a major problem with that. People were flipping out yesterday about him saying, we don't really get along, or whatever he said. It was like, I love the guy. He's great. But there was a pause that people were reading into. I think we all know where they stand. They're not best buddies.
But if this would have happened 2 years ago,
sure.
And you would have heard that, people would be flipping out even more.
Of course. But we also, over the past several months, now accept that this is not the same Tom Brady. And his priorities aren't 100% football the way they used to be.
Maybe people are freaking
out. Closer to the end as well, so I think they're both kind of a little more laid back about how these guys get along, because you know that, 2 years max, they're going to have to keep up these appearances? Two years? That's it?
Maybe yesterday, that interview is a confirmation of what everyone had thought, because Brady really hasn't spoken on the issue at all, at any length, until
the fifth.
Yeah.
He did that, right. Remember?
With Jim Gray.
So by not answering it, it's more of a confirmation of everyone's worst fear, that it's not as it was, and the two of them aren't in lockstep with each other, and there are problems. Maybe that's why people are freaking out.
Well,
because 2 years ago, he's like, Coach Belichick's best coach I've ever had. You know, we get along just fine, that kind of thing. Now it's kind of a confirmation that things have changed.
And if you add in the players that they've lost and the Edelman absence, and Brady not being there and maybe not being 100% into it, even though I think that he'll still be, obviously, if not one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but... I mean, this is not an ideal situation going into this season. I mean, you can just say they can pop in personnel wherever they want, but they're missing two of his biggest targets, not big in terms of stature, but two of his favorite targets. They're missing their best running back, and they have, this issue with Tom Brady not being fully into it, if you
believe
that.
You also have a left tackle that you're not sure of.
That's right. You're missing your starting left tackle.
Yeah. This is, I think, the most worried Patriot fans have been in what? 15 years?
Probably.
Going into season?
20
sure.
years?
Sure.
I mean, you could say, you were worried about Brady not being in the first four games of last season, but there was that theory, if they can just split these first four,
right.
then Brady comes back and he'll light it up. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Now you're worried about the team before training camp. Now there are some real concerns about filling in some spots. The quarterback isn't, 100% committed to the head coach. There's problems, between the top three guys in the organization. You're missing a lot of people. Edelman's going to be out. There's a lot of things that are moving around here. So, yeah, I think Patriots fans should be worried. And maybe it means they win 11 games instead of 13, but maybe that's costs them the home game they need in the AFC Championship game.
I would imagine it would.
Yeah. I mean, that's more the concern. I'm not worried about Brady going in and throwing 30 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions. I mean, you assume that's going to happen regardless of how many OTAs he shows up at. But that extra win might be the difference. And the fact that he misses all that time, and there is a left tackle that has to learn on the job, and a running back who you're all of a sudden depending upon probably as a rookie.
Who, by the way, Sony, I'm hearing now a bunch of crap about him that's not overly positive.
Like what?
Ball control, hanging on to the football.
Sure.
Get Lockhart on here.
Sure.
Tell me about this, Sony. Now I'm hearing all these concerns about him. About his taking care of the ball and this and that.
Yeah, he's definitely had some ball control issues, fumbling. He's had a few injuries here and there. He's not the fastest running back in the world. He can catch, and I like the way he runs, but I wasn't overly thrilled when they took him.
That's the positive. He's nasty when he runs, correct?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It would be better if he ran a lot faster.
a guy and held on to it,
well,
too.
Listen, well, that's what happened to Abdullah with the Lions. Right. He's got all the talent in the world. He can't
very
hang on.
Can't
so
hang on
so you're telling me he's an aggressive runner with an injury history who fumbles a lot.
Yeah. That's right up to the Patriots' alley.
Yeah. So I don't think he's Deion Lewis of last year. Let's put it that way.
But
it's not a plug and play.
That falls in line with what we're talking about. This is a team for the first time in I don't know how many years, you've lost track, that you have genuine concerns. You know, they didn't fix the linebacker problem either. I mean, there are genuine concerns about this team. And in years past, it's in Belichick. We trust Brady will cover up all the mistakes. Belichick will coach these players up. Dante Scarnecchia will fix the problems on the offensive line. But I think deep down, Patriots fans realize it's different this year.
And do you have any doubt they'll make it to the AFC Championship?
No, but if that game's on the road, then it's different.
Nope. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's where it could make all the difference.
And that's been the problem in the past. When they have to go on the road in the AFC Championship game, things can be different recently.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a given that they make the AFC Championship game, especially if they don't get a bye.
That's also been a problem. When they don't get the bye, that's been a massive problem.
It's a problem for most teams when they don't get a bye. All right. Are we set for Dead or Alive?
You want to do it?
I always want to do Dead or Alive.
I'm a huge fan
of Dead or Alive.
You got the theme in there, Dan? You got the theme?
He's got Journey. Don't worry
all
about
right.
it.
Kate. That's not it.
Well, it's something.
There it is. Okay.
All right.
Get it ready.
Yeah.
All right. We will have no commercials here, just the headlines.